Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. The book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Beware of dogs and beware of evil doers." I find it interesting that Paul puts the dogs and the evil workers together. But the fact of the matter is that you have to be careful about a wild dog, don't you? But we also have to beware of evil workers. And there in your Bible, you'll find in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." It's a simple message title today, "Beware." And I must admit, I wonder how many times that has been the theme of one of my messages or a thought in a message. The fact that we should beware of what's going on around us and not to be swept along by the sin of the world. And if you would, let's stand as we begin reading in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 1. "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, 'When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these thoughts. And Lord, we do realize that many will come saying, we thought, Lord, we were serving you properly. But to too many at that last judgment, they will be asked to depart because he never knew them. Lord, we pray that we would beware of false teachings and false prophets. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Beware. It means to be on one's guard, to take care, to be wary of, to be cautious. Saw this article the other day in a magazine. It says, "How to read the fine print." When a new trash collection company came to town, Angela Cable decided to switch, so she called her current service to cancel. Turns out the 54-year-old Rock Springs, Wyoming resident had made a 3-year contract. The fine print also said the contract automatically renewed for another 36 months at expiration unless she canceled it in writing. No problem, she thought. Her contract was up in about a month. But buried in the fine print was another provision. "You must give us 90 days notice to cancel." Cable had no clue she'd agreed to that. Negotiating her way out of the arrangement resulted in a lot of headaches. And then it gives us some things you should know before you buy, like free. Nothing is free. If you aren't paying for the product, you are the product. Your information is likely being sold to advertisers who will barrage you with online solicitations. Have you been there? Free trial. It's often accompanied by phrases like, "We will not charge your credit card company until 30 days from now." This enters you into a game of, will you remember to cancel on the 29th? How about for 6 months? Along with a similar introductory price, there is a variation of the free trial game. Maybe $39 a month for cable TV sounds good to you in January, but it's $137 by August. Was it really a good deal? Will you remember to cancel in July? How about automatically renews? The zombies of the consumer universe. Such clauses mean you will keep paying even if you don't realize it or want the service anymore. Make sure you examine your credit card bills. It's amazing how they'll just keep trying to add it. How about this one? Restocking fee. Extended warranties. Not covered. Void the warranty. Read the small print. Beware. How about those advertisements for prescriptions? It sounds like the side effects are worse than the disease. Beware. I saw this in a magazine. There was an advertising. Don't you agree that all advertising is true? It was on this Values Voter Summit. Values Voter Summit. It was taking place at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. In the advertisement, it pictured 27 invited guests. Confirmed mark with a red star. Again, 27 invited guests with their picture in the advertisement, including President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Spence, Joni Erickson Tada, Franklin Graham, Kirk Cameron, Paul Ryan, Ben Carson, 27 invited speakers, but only 4 red stars. Only 4 of the 27 were coming. But the other 27 or the other 23 were invited. Saw this in the AARP, the magazine. I know I don't look like I am old enough to get the AARP. Come on, at least one amen. Okay, so I do look old enough to get the AARP magazine. Now, if it's in the AARP magazine, it's got to be true, right? In the article, Life-Changing Friendships, Greg Smith and Koyar Mostafish met after the 2016 election. One a Democrat, one a Republican, one a Muslim. One, an evangelical Christian. That was in the article. Smith says the friendship has changed him. Once anti-Muslim, he now believes that each person of faith has his own relationship with God and that we're all trying to be better people. Beware. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Beware. There's a lack of morality and integrity in our world today. Be cautious. Be careful. Warren Wiersbe writes of Matthew chapter 16, where we read this morning the first 4 verses, the events recorded in this chapter form a dramatic turning point in our Lord's ministry. For the first time, he mentions the church, verse 18, and he openly spoke about his death in verse 21. He began to prepare the disciples for his arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection. Unfortunately, they were slow to learn their lessons, unquote. Matthew 16 shows 4 levels of faith. In verse 4, there's no faith. In verse 8, there's little faith. In verse 16, there is saving faith. And in verse 24, there is serving faith. So we'd like to look at that first thought today. No faith tempting Christ. And we read how the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tempting desired him to show them a sign. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Evolution tries to tell you that by chance there was a ball of energy, it exploded, and that from there, that's how we got here. Over billions of years. And yet God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created the stars, the planets. He created this beautiful world that we live in that was better then than it is today. But the fact of the matter is this, we don't need more than what the nature shows us, that there is a God. But then we realize that people are sinners. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. So we need someone that's going to bridge the gap. And that's why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, so that we could be saved. That we would not have to spend eternity in a place called hell. And so we find that the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to silence Jesus. And the two opposing religious parties united in one common effort. What's that old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend? And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were at odds with each other, joined together to try to bring Jesus down. They were waiting for him when he returned to Galilee. The Pharisees were the traditionalists of their day. They loved the law and promoted it strongly, and they believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and they were quite liberal in their teachings. So they devised a plan. United, they issued a challenge to Jesus. Show us a sign from heaven, and we will believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah. Do you find it interesting, at the very end of Christ's life, while he's on the cross, they're still seeking a sign? Do you remember they said, if you come down, we'll believe. Could Jesus come down from the cross? Well, he could have. You know, there's the song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he couldn't come down from the cross, because he had to die for our sins. If he had come down off that cross, then we'd be lost in our sins. But he realized that we needed a Savior. He realized that we needed to have salvation, and that he was the only one that could provide it. They were asking really for more than just a miracle. He'd been performing miracles. He made the lame to walk and the blind to see, and those that could not hear, he gave them back their hearing ability. They saw these miracles, but that wasn't enough. They wanted a wonder that would simply take their breath away. And then they would believe. But Jesus knew they were not interested in a sign. They had made up their minds that they did not want him in their lives or even in their beloved country. You know, there are those today that do not want Jesus as part of their life. They don't mind religion. Folks, there's lots of religion in our society. You can go up and down the streets of Sterling Heights and Utica and Shelby and Macomb and Clinton and Rochester, Rochester Hills, Washington, Troy, all around us we can find religion. But religion is man's attempt to get on good side, God's good side. But salvation only comes through the fulfilled work of Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 4, look at it quickly. Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They were spiritually wicked. For many of them, they were worshiping the law, but not worshiping the lawgiver.
They were worshiping what they could do, but not what needed to be done. So we find that they were wicked spiritually, and they were adulterous. They were religious, but they were serving the wrong God. They were serving idols. Are there idols in our society today? Let me give you one. Sports. Judy told me that the Lions quarterback is injured. She said that he has a broken bone in his back. That doesn't sound good. But you know, there are people who worship sports. Sports is more important to them than anything else. But I'm going to tell you something. Sports isn't going to get you into heaven. Okay? How about those that worship money? Are there people that worship money? Money at all costs, whatever it takes, the more I have. Hey, and they worship money. How about looks? Are there people that worship looks? Now, I know all you men want to be as good looking as me. How come you just laughed? But the fact of the matter is, we all like good looks, right? Yes. But will looks get you into heaven? How about your education? Will it get you into heaven? I don't care how many degrees you have. But we worship things. How about homes? Do people worship their house? Put more effort into their house? Do everything for their house, but they really don't care about their soul. But what's your prized possession in life? Your prized possession. Now, I don't know if any of you ever go to estate sales. I've stopped at some estate sales. In fact, I was at one the other day, and sometimes I leave an estate sale, and I'm thinking, if this is all you had at the end of your life, wow, you didn't have much. The fact of the matter is, I don't care what you have, it doesn't come close to the value of your soul. Your soul will live for all eternity. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you made your right relationship with our Creator God? Because the soul will spend eternity in one of two places. Either in heaven or in hell. And don't be, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't be confused by Hallmark movies that tell you that everyone goes to heaven. The Bible tells us that there are few that find the way to eternal life. Far more will not. And that should warn us. That should warn us. So they're wicked and adulterous generation. They seek a sign. And he tells them to look to the prophet Jonah for their sign. We all know the story of Jonah, how that he was running from God and a storm was sent and Jonah was thrown overboard and he was swallowed by the whale. And 3 days later, he was vomited up onto dry land. And we find that this is a sign of the death and burial and resurrection. Jonah thrown overboard shows his death. Swallowed by the whale shows his burial. And the vomited out into dry land was the resurrection. Jesus said, "This is your sign." Was not Jesus, did he not die? Was he not buried? And he did not rise again? Wiersbe writes, "Our Lord's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection are actually a sign to Israel that he was their Messiah." Take your Bibles and we will conclude in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll be reading at verse 5. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus is God, part of the Trinity. And he was not wrong when he made himself equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, why this was the plan that God came up with to send Jesus to walk on earth for 30-some years, for him to die, to be buried, and to rise again, I'm not sure, but that was his plan. And he humbled himself to do this. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The crucifixion was not plan B. From the foundation of the world, it was known that Jesus Christ would come and die. Verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All will at some point in time say that Jesus is Lord. For those who say it before they die, they'll spend eternity in heaven. For those who will reluctantly say it after death, they unfortunately will realize who exactly Jesus Christ is, but they will spend eternity in hell. So the question boils down to each of us is this: what have you done with Christ? Will you be like the Pharisees and Sadducees and say, I am satisfied with my religion, I am satisfied with my lifestyle, I am satisfied with who I am, and that's enough? Or will we come to the point where we say, I need a Savior. I am a sinner, and I need someone to die for me, and that someone was Jesus Christ. You must come to that conclusion that he is either your Savior or you want nothing to do with him. You'll find another way. There is no middle ground. It's either you accept him or you reject him. Shall we stand together? 375, our invitation song, Just As I Am. As we come and have the invitation time, we give you an opportunity to ponder the thoughts. If you'd like to come and pray here at the altar, we'd be glad to let you do so alone. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, let us know and we'll have someone pray with you. Maybe you need to accept the Lord as your Savior today. We'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God how you can do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that the Spirit would move at this time. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done during this invitation time. We thank you for the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ, that unspeakable gift. Help us, Lord, to make the right decisions in our life. And we ask this with Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.